Thank you, Brother James. Thankful for this opportunity to be with you this evening. We're just still abuzz from the blessings of the meeting we attended this past weekend. Certainly was, the only one that really mattered who attended was the Lord. And he was there in our midst from the time we walked on those grounds. And I believe he went home with us and is still with us this week. Thankful that Brother Ricky came to be with us and he had safe travels home. This evening, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from the 19th chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And here in the 19th chapter, it tells us in the sixth verse that, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Here's a statement showing God is all powerful. This evening, Lord being our helper, I would like us to be able to see through an eye of faith. And if the Lord would bless us to see a picture of that one that is omnipotent. In the 11th verse, it talks about, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." So this one, he makes war, but everything he does when he makes war is righteous and in his righteousness. And down a little further in the 14th verse, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." Here's a picture of that one that is omnipotent, who is faithful and true and righteous in all that he does in judgment and war. He's a leader. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." 63rd chapter of the book of Isaiah tells us that this one tread that winepress alone. And this evening, we keep that in mind, that what he did alone. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." To get a picture going here, and we see that he has a vesture. I spent 22 years in the military, and on our uniforms, we would have our names, we'd have our rank, and we would understand how those ranks worked as far as the chain of command in leadership. And I see Brother Ken Brenner shaking his head. He understands what I'm talking about. And in Isaiah 59, it talks about one, and he saw that — this is the 59th chapter of Isaiah 16th verse — "And he saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." Now, we're very familiar with the whole armor of God in the book of Ephesians, and you notice there's some things here that are specifically spoken of about that whole armor that we're to put on. That armor is not an armor that hasn't been tried. It's an armor that the Lord himself has worn and tried. So we now see that one is righteous, he's a leader, and he has a vesture over that armor that he's wearing to identify exactly who he is. So let's go this afternoon to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'll read from the 13th verse. "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in him his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, I want us to keep in mind here that this is one person. This is not talking about three different people. We read over in back there in the Revelation where his name was on his vesture, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But here we have the word, the title of only potentate. Now, when you use that word only, it's talking about one that has a singular name here, that no one else should have this name. He is the only one whose description and name is potentate. And this one has all power. And, you know, even in the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel, we read after Nebuchadnezzar was sent out into the pasture to eat grass for a while. And when he came forth, and he says his mind was returned on him, proclaimed this one that had all power in heaven and earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? He recognized this one that was the only potentate. And potentate is the one that has power and the position and the authority. So now we talk about King of kings and Lord of lords. If you see what is that and how this is written, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, penned these things down. It says, the King, with a capital K, of kings. And it says, and Lord, capital L, of lords. This is the same person. This is not talking about the same avenue, if you will, of his authority. These are two avenues of his authority, of him being the only potentate, and he is identified in his vesture. It's worn by him that we would know who the King of kings and the Lord of lords is. Now, the word king very simply means the chief leader. He's a chief leader. In another place, he's called the captain of our salvation in the book of Hebrews, that captain being the leader, captain being that one that is the chief leader. I want us to recognize in Revelation again, chapter 5 and verse 10, about this king. In chapter 5, verse 10, it says, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, you notice here that he's made us kings. Do you know kings in the Old Testament, there were many kings, and you know, the king that David, or the king that God called was David. We had King Saul that came about, and he was made king because the people demanded it, and the Lord fulfilled it for him. And you notice how things didn't work out too well with King Saul. But King David was that one that would be that chosen king. God made him king. He has made a people king. And as we look at exactly how that is worded, he is the King of kings. That means there is presently kings that the chief leader is over. There is now this king, and this king is the one that has chosen these kings that he's over. He hath made us kings unto God. And we, as kings unto God, we were chosen. And I'm thankful to have been on the broadcast before this. Brother John Scotts and Brother James Isaac told us about that election, that choice that God made in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We're chosen. We're the elect. We have been chosen to be kings unto God. Now, the next part of that says Lord of lords. Now, Lord is a royal declaration. It's a royal position. It's a family position, if you will. Royalty comes from and goes through generations. We see that in the different monarchies that we have in our present world. Queen Elizabeth passed away, and her son is now going to become the king. It's not a these offices are in these monarchies are pretty much they have no power in them, because the secular governments have the power, but they're more of a figurehead. But what I'm want to get at here with this is that royalty, these royal parts, families pass down the authority that they have, or whatever they have, from one to another, according to their relation. So now we can see here that we have the King of Kings, who has chosen and made the kings that are presently kings, presently those that follow after him, follow after this one that is clothed in a in an armor, one that has come. He's omnipotent. He's the only potentate. He is the king over all the kings that have been chosen, and now he is Lord of Lords. He is the son of the one true and living God. And we can read over in the book of Timothy, in the second, or the book of Peter, in the second chapter of Peter, 1 Peter, second chapter of 1 Peter, it tells us this. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now we have King of Kings, chosen of God, but now we are also the same people, are a chosen priesthood, and that chosen priesthood, the Lord's come about according to relationship, that we were are born, we are made of God, we're born of God, we're going to be the adoption that is going to come about into its finality, that is the redemption of our bodies, but there is a relationship in that, and that relationship carries forth that we would go after that the Lord of Lords, that a royal title, as he makes the decrees, as that one of royalty, that we are those that are made to follow after that decree. The king is it is that one that is a outfitted, if you will, for battle here in this low ground of sin and sorrow, that one that has that identification that he is Lord of Lords, he is King of Kings. We have this one that we can, and I remember back in the Old Testament, where as the children of Israel were there on that seashore, the Lord told them that he'd go before them and he would fight their battles. And he went before them in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire to protect them. And as Moses lifted up his arms and that sea parted and the children of Israel, they walked through on dry ground, the Lord was with them. He led them and he guided them through this through that sea. He guided them through on dry ground, and he destroyed the armies of Pharaoh. This is the King of Kings who goes before us and fights our battles. In Hebrews chapter 13, he's the one that says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It says he'll be with us in six troubles, and the seventh, no evil shall come upon us. There's this one that tells us over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. In the 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, we are to endure hardness. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. These are those kings that we have been made. We're good to be good soldiers that we would follow after that, that the commander tells us that we should do. He tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he tells us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us fear God and keep his commandments. For this is what? This is the whole duty of man. We have the only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I'd like to go to one more place this evening as we bring our comments to a close in Hebrews chapter 4. Make that 2 Timothy, excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, again, we have that one, the King of Kings. You know, when we were in the military, we would have these special times where we would all fall into ranks in our dress uniforms. And those that have done extraordinary jobs in their field or have done showed forth heroism, they would recognize them and give them an award before before others that they would be recognized for their work. Here in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, and it says here, the Apostle Paul writing, it says, for I, sixth verse, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, in any circumstance, a child of God who can make that declaration is worthy to be recognized, and the Lord himself recognizes one. And it says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not only me, me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Brethren, I believe this is that recognition, if you will, the recognition of fighting the good fight of faith, that recognition of being a soldier, a good soldier that endured hardness. On the fourth verse of that second chapter of 2 Timothy, it tells us that he hath chosen us to be a soldier. Brethren, we have been made kings and priests unto God. We are the royal priesthood. We are that one that carries on from generation to generation, that we would be those ones standing upon the walls of Zion, those ones crying aloud and spare not, and preach the wonderful gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that all generations coming up would have this blessed privilege to hear the gospel of their salvation, that they would know that their kings, but the king is that one that we are to be before and follow after those orders that he has set before us. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He wants us to love one another as he has loved us. He goes before us and fights our battles. He's our re-reward. That means he's got our backs in every avenue of our life. He says he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is the only potentate. He has all power. In Matthew chapter 28, it tells us there about the end of that chapter. The Lord tells us that all power has been given unto him in heaven and earth. And who gave that power to him? But the Father gave it to him that he would be that only potentate. He is our King of Kings, and he is our Lord of Lords. And we sing a song from time to time. Am I a soldier of the cross? And this evening, that one that is supreme in authority, that one that is sovereign. Do we understand this evening what sovereign truly is? Sovereign is one that answers to no others. Sovereign is that one that has all power, that one that puts forth and shows his position and authority over all things. But also, we have a king that knows our condition. We're made of dust. We have a Lord looks down upon us in tender mercy when we fail things. But Lord, this evening, let us keep in mind and understand we are kings by a choice. We are lords by a relationship. And the king and the lords of this world are not chosen of God. They are not related to the Lord of Lords. But we, God's people, his children, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I want you to know one of the things of the armed forces and the honor that from soldier to soldier that we will not leave anyone on the battlefield. This evening, I want you to know the Lord is not going to leave one of his on the battlefield because when he comes back, without sin, unto salvation, and makes that call, come, blessed to my Father. Everyone that he died for will come forth from that, from wherever they're at, whether they're alive or whether they're in the tomb, and they're going to come forth, and he's not going to leave one behind in this battlefield. So while we're here, understand that we are those chosen of God. That we would uphold the banner of Jesus Christ. We are Lord of Lords. We are royalty. We are rich. We are more rich than any of the riches of this world because our Father in heaven is the Father of the King. And the King is the King of our kingdom in which he has established here in the world that we have this blessed privilege. And I believe this evening that we're sitting together in this service. We are sitting in his kingdom, hearing those wonderful news, the wonderful news, the good news that Jesus Christ, our King, who overcame death, hell, and the grave. And we have a victory this evening, not according to what we've done, but according to what he has done and what he has accomplished. Brothers and sisters, all power is given to him in heaven and earth. And this evening, as we consider the greatness of his power, of his authority, that he is sovereign over all things, that he is our leader, that he is singular in all his battles. He tread that winepress alone. He entered one time into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And this evening, understanding that he is that one that has commanded us, and I'll leave it with this, to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God bless you and keep you is my prayer. I hope I've said something to stir your pure minds.